Are you glad to be here this morning to worship, friends? I am glad to see you. And as we were singing this song, I was hopeful that when we come to worship, that it is all about Jesus. It's not about me, not about the denomination. It's about Jesus. And so I hope that is your heart's desire today, to worship the Lord, to worship Jesus. And I'm so thankful that you have come today. I know there's lots of choices. There's lots of things that we can do on summer days, and there's lots of activities this Memorial Day weekend. But I'm thankful that you have come to worship the Lord this morning. And so before we go any further, let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity that is ours this morning to come into this place to worship you. And I pray that your Spirit would lead us. And I pray that your Spirit would be with every other gathering in churches and other places this morning where people have come and gathered to worship you. May our worship be all about you, Lord Jesus. And so I pray that as hard as it is sometimes, we are able to let the things of the week set aside for a moment, for a little while, because we've come to worship you. I know there's heaviness on hearts because we've lost some of our loved ones. I know that there is busyness in our schedules because that's just how we are, seems like how we are wired. I know there's schools are pretty much out now, and kids and young people are starting to think about summer activities and jobs and all kinds of stuff. But I pray this morning, Father, above all else, we just bask in your presence and worship you. I do pray that we in America would remember this Memorial Day weekend and remember what it's all about. We give you praise this morning, Heavenly Father, because it is by your hand that we live in the greatest nation on earth. And we give you praise this morning, Father, that you also gave your Son to die that we might live. And we give you praise this morning, Father, for the men and women of the uniform. Many over the 242 years that we have been an independent nation, many have put on the uniform and never came home. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember that and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for America. Thank you for each person here. Help us to listen to your voice this morning. More than mine, listen to yours as your Spirit speaks to us in our heart and in our ears. Guide us now as we have come to worship. And I do pray, Lord, for those names on the prayer focus. There are so many that are so sick. Little babies that have just learned of leukemia. Others, adults that are battling cancers and infirmities. Others that have lost their loved ones. Father, we lift them all up to you and pray that your will would be done. Healing, comfort, encouragement, guidance. We pray for each and every one, Father, and say, thy will be done. Guide us now as we look at Scripture a little while, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, those of you that have been around here for any amount of time at all know that we are in the Sermon on the Mount series, and so if you've got your Bible, I would invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5 and follow along there. I'm picking it up at verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21. Now, let me just say this because I every now and then I will say this because not everybody gets to be in every Sermon on the Mount session. And so let me say this. If you haven't been with us from the beginning, you wouldn't have heard this yet. When I relay to us, when I convey to us the words of Jesus from Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I want us to understand completely. I am not conveying this message, nor was Jesus. This is a how-to to get to heaven, because he has a lot of instruction in here. Be salt and light. Love your enemies. Love your neighbors. And today we're going to talk about anger. This is not a how-to I get to heaven, but rather this is when we, and Jesus was speaking to the multitudes in this setting, inviting them to come and be followers of Christ, lay down our own agenda, take up our cross and follow him. And so as he's inviting these people, he invites humanity to come be his followers. And when we choose and decide to be his followers, he then gives us this direction. This is what that looks like. This, when I speak about today, the topic is going to be murder and anger. It's all in the same sentence. This is not, okay, so I got to get a hold of my anger so I can get to heaven. This is how the believer, the follower, should look, because I have put my faith and trust in Christ. So this is an instruction, if you will, a step-by-step manual, if you will. When we commit to follow Christ, these things should be our DNA. Okay, with that in mind, Matthew 5:21. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Same kind of judgment. I'll elaborate on this in a minute. Then he says, "And whoever says to his brother," this is all in the same conversation now, murder, anger, it's all the same conversation, "and whoever says to his brother, raka," that's an Aramaic word meaning empty one, it's a derogatory term, and I'll explain that a little further, "shall be in danger of the council," meaning the Sanhedrin, the religious council of the day. "But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." There's a specific meaning about that too, and I'll elaborate on that in a few minutes. Then he says, still talking about anger, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar," which they all did, that was just part of who they were, three times a year, the men would all have to come, And families would come too, especially for the Passover. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge," and there's another verse or so after that. And so my topic today is, what about anger? I've told you before, and you, most of you know this, when Jesus, excuse me, when Jesus addresses the crowd here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says numerous times, "You have heard it said." Because the Jewish people would have understood the Mosaic Law. And the Mosaic Law had a few things to say. And one of those in the Ten Commandments was, "You shall not murder." So on numerous occasions here in his delivery, Jesus will say to them, reminding them of the Mosaic Law, "You have heard it said." But then he adds, "But I say to you." In other words, he's saying, I'm not eliminating that sixth command, "Thou shalt not murder." I'm building upon that. Because really, quite frankly, it's easy for you and me and most of the Jewish people and most of the society to look at the Ten Commandments or the Mosaic Law and say, check, yes, I did not do that. And so he's building upon that idea about murder, and drilling down and saying it's more than that. And so he says to them, let me expand on this idea of murder. Whoever is angry without a cause, some of your Bibles, depending on which translation you're looking at today, won't even have that without a cause in it. King James, New King James, use that. I like that. And it doesn't give us an out. I'll explain that. Whoever is angry without a cause is in danger of the same kind of judgment as those that murder, as he said. Now, I know that some of you are thinking and probably would say to me, yeah, but Jim, I got plenty of cause to be angry. We can rationalize our anger. We all do it. I do it. We all do it. We can be guilty of that. In matter of fact, I've seen in some cases, some people in the church have been angry so long with their brother and sister, they don't even remember what they're angry about anymore. We just let this anger take hold of us and go on and on and on. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so let me explain to you what this without a cause means. I was reading in the Believer's Commentary on this on the other day, and I think this is an excellent definition. Here's what he says. Most people can find what they think is a valid cause to be angry. Okay, you still with me? A little drowsy this morning, I can see that. Most of us can find a valid cause to be angry and to keep and maintain our anger. Listen now, because I think he's dead on. But anger is justified only when God's honor is at stake, or somebody else is being wronged. Anger is only justified in those two circumstances. And lastly, anger is never right in retaliation for personal wrongs. Are you still with me? The commentary is suggesting here that we all have this innate ability to be angry at somebody and just maintain our anger, and we rationalize our anger, well, he did this or she did that or he said that or she said that. We rationalize, I have a reason to be angry. Jesus is addressing that kind of anger. Now, there are times when God's honor is at stake, or people groups or individuals are being wronged. It has nothing to do with us. There are times that we should have a righteous indignation about that. The Bible says later in the New Testament, be angry, but sin not. In other words, don't take matters into your own hands. But when it comes to my holding a grudge or anger against you, or you against me, or you against each other, the commentary says anger is never right in retaliation for personal wrongs. And that's what Jesus is speaking about in this passage. And so I ask us, having talked about being salt and light, remember that? Some of you were here a while back. We talked about salt and light. After Jesus gets through the Beatitudes, the 10 blessed are these, the first thing he addresses, you would-be followers, you are the light of the world. Remember that? Some of you are here. And so I ask us, in the church today, how are we, followers of Jesus Christ, going to be light when we fall into the trap of the enemy and are angry at our brother, our sister, and it's showing? How are we going to be light then? Jesus tells us here that that kind of anger is the same as murder. It's easy for us to say, I have not murdered. It's easy for us to check that box. That's precisely why Jesus is saying, but I say to you. He's building upon the idea. It isn't just about murder. It's the attitude of our hearts. Many of you will recall in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, that John wrote, whoever hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And again, we can rationalize and we can say, well, Jim, I really don't hate him. I just don't like him. You've been there, some of y'all. I've probably been there. And then we can rationalize, well, I really don't hate him, but I sure am mad at him. And I say to us again, why does Jesus address anger? Two reasons. One, you cannot be salt and you cannot be light if you're angry at your family. Your light is not going to show through if we're too busy being angry at our family. And number two, you cannot even have a right relationship with God if you have this anger and this animosity and this enmity with a fellow brother or sister. He explains that in verse 23 and 4. I'll share that in a minute. There's really no mistaking the severity of these words here in Jesus' teachings. Anger, he is saying, in our hearts contains the seeds of murder. He says, in danger of judgment for both cases. Anger in our hearts contains the seeds of murder. You say, Jim, I'd never murder. That is precisely what he's addressing here. We can check off that box, but how about the anger in your hearts? When we let our anger control us, Jesus says it's the same as murder, and we are in danger of God's judgment. Now, back to that 23 and 24 that I said I was going to reiterate. He is telling the people there, you've got these differences, you've got these anxieties, you've got this outright anger with each other. And he says in 23, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, I'm going to paraphrase for a minute here and use 2018 vernacular instead of that. Thank you. If you're coming to worship, coming to present your gift at the altar, and God brings to memory you're angry at somebody or somebody is angry at you, he says, before you lay your gift at the altar, before you come and finish your worship, go to your brother, go to your sister, and be reconciled to them, or at least make an attempt to them, or don't bother to come to worship me. That's my paraphrase. It's a heart condition that we need to address. This anger is the seeds of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and murder. And he says to us in these two verses, if you're coming to worship me and you're reminded that somebody's angry at you or you're angry at somebody, take measures to deal with that before you come and worship. This is a serious matter he's talking about here. It's easy for us, I've said this already, it's easy for us to check the box, I am not a murderer. But how easy is it for us to check the box that said, I'm not angry without cause? In other words, I'm not still angry at a brother or sister because of something. Jesus is telling us in these verses, clear up the differences before you come to worship. Clear up the anger, clear up the bitterness, clear up the grievances with your fellow brothers and sisters, or don't bother coming to worship. Excuse me. Murder is one thing he's talking about here. But he said, if you're going to be my follower, we've got to check the attitude and the health of our heart. Now, also in this little teaching on anger and murder, let me say a couple of things about a couple of other things that Jesus said before we close. That word raka, in their day, it meant empty one. And in their day, it was a sign and a word of contempt and abuse. What does that mean? insulting a fellow Jew at the time was that word, raca. And so when we think about this whole murder, anger, now he adds in, how oftentimes have I insulted my fellow brothers or sisters in Christ? Because Jesus said here, if you're going to be insulting your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you will be in danger of standing before the council. You will be in danger of going before the Sanhedrin. And they will cast judgment on your abusing or insulting your fellow believer. And so now he goes from murder to anger to even insulting your brothers and sisters in Christ. He addresses all of it. It's serious stuff to insult their fellow Jew, and they were in danger of going before the council. And it's also serious stuff to be, for Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be insulting each other. And then, one more thing that he addresses. To call someone a fool was another form of unrighteous anger displayed towards someone, and Jesus condemned that. Now you say, what does that mean, Jim? In this application, fool, I don't know what's the first word you think of when you think of fool, but some might think of dunce or stupid or imbecile or whatever else. But in this context, when someone of that time said, you fool, they were in essence saying, you deserve to be dead. Very serious matters. Jesus said, when we have that kind of thought and judgment in our heart and in our mind, in pronouncement, he said, those are in danger of hellfire. Now, in today's vernacular, it's common for people to be cursing others and using God's name, including, in some cases, to damn somebody in the name of God. That is the same as saying, you should be dead, and Jesus said, that person is in danger of hellfire. And so all of a sudden, we've got this little reading here tucked away in the Sermon on the Mount, thinking it's talking about murder, and it is, but it's talking about a whole lot more than that. It's talking about being angry at your brothers and sisters. It's talking about insulting your brothers and sisters. It's talking about whether you call them a fool or damn them in the Lord's name. It's talking about a lot more than just being a murderer. It's talking about the condition of our heart, our attitude towards other believers, our words even. It's talking about a lot more than being a murderer. And so, let me say this and we'll close. When Jesus is speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount, and particularly here this today when we're talking about murder and anger, there's no mistaking the severity of his words to the followers here about dealing with that. We need to deal with it. Probably starting with repentance before God, but also, if we have been wronged, if we have wronged, there's biblical direction on how to deal with all that too. He's going to talk about forgiveness. We're going to talk about forgiveness here in the near future. But we've got this biblical instruction to not let anger manifest itself in our heart. It needs to be dealt with. Because if it's not, Jesus says it's the same as murder. And so he's saying there's no place for anger towards your fellow followers. If there has been a dispute, I'll say this once more, then quit. If there has been a dispute between fellow believers, then do the biblical thing and go to that person and address the issue. He gives us all these instructions in His Word. And so I will say this to close as I started. This is not a checklist to get to heaven. This is how I live if I have given my life to the Son of God. No longer letting anger dictate who I am, like it used to, but dealing with it. Letting it go at the cross. Dealing with anger, animosity, unwillingness to forgive, and everything else. As a follower of Christ, He gives us the instruction to deal with these things. And so, friends, I'll say like I did when I started this series, if we have not given our life to Jesus Christ, if we have not been born again, this stuff is impossible. Only by surrendering our lives to Jesus, only by allowing the Holy Spirit of God to come into us and help us with these things, are we ever going to be able to do any of it. He's going to talk about tougher things than this. Loving your enemies. Forgiveness when you've been wronged. He's going to talk about tougher stuff than this. We can't do that without His help. But when we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and takes up residence in us, then these things are all doable, or He wouldn't be telling us to do it. Amen. Do you love America, brothers and sisters? I am so thankful we live in America. I thank the Lord very, very often we get to live in America. And I would encourage you, if you've not been to one for a while or never been to one, find a Memorial Day service somewhere near you tomorrow. And remember, some have paid it all, that we could live like we live. Remember them in a service somewhere tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, thank You for America. Thank You for blessing this nation. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness and Your grace. Your mercies have been poured out upon us. Thank You, Heavenly Father. We remember Your goodness and grace. We remember Your sacrifice in Your Son. But, Father, this Memorial Day weekend, we are reminded, and it is a good reminder, that men and women of the uniform in the last 242 years have stood up to defend America, and some have never come home. May we remember them. May we never forget there has been a price that has been paid, a price in Your Son, a price in sons and daughters of Americans. And so, Father, I pray this weekend is good in America. This weekend is a reminder, and we never forget to thank You for the blessings and to thank You for the men and women who have paid it all. And now, Lord, I pray that as we go from here, that we are reminded of the words of Jesus. It isn't just a checklist that I can say, well, I didn't murder anybody. How about the attitude of my heart? Is there anger there? Then help us to deal with that. Is there bitterness? Have I insulted and ridiculed my fellow brothers and sisters? Father God, forgive us. Have I even considered in my mind someone should be dead by calling them a fool or damning them by Your name? Father, forgive us and help us to recognize we are Yours, bought with a price. We are to be salt and light. And being led by anger, we will never be salt, we will never be light, we'll never even have the right relationship with You. Help us to deal with that once and for all. May You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.